be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Mary set out in those days and traveled to the hill country in haste, to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Most blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed, for the Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in the conceit of their hearts. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months, and then returned to her home. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The O antiphon that the Church gives us as the Alleluia verse today is O Rex Gentium, Desideratus Earum, Lapis Angularis, Qui Facis Utraque Unum, Veni ad salvandum nos de limo quem formasti. Much richer than the translation that we have here. O King of the nations, and the desire of all peoples, the cornerstone from which you make one out of all the nations. You bring everybody together. Come, save us from the dust from which you formed us. We turn to Jesus, who's on his way as the King not just of the Jews, but as the King of all nations, and the desire of them, even those who don't know they're desiring him. We can think today of all the Muslim nations who don't recognize that he's going to be the King, all the Buddhist and all the Hindi nations who don't recognize he's the King. But he's ultimately the desire placed within us for eternity. He's the answer to that great question. He seeks to make us all one. He came that we would become one just like he and the Father are one by the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. And we beg him, come and save us from the dust in which you formed us. Takes us all the way back to creation, to Adam and Eve, to the way he formed us all, and we're all descendants of Adam and Eve, and we're begging him to save us from that dust to which we shall return from death, but at the same time to bring us to the purpose for which he breathed into us the breath of life in the beginning. Ultimately, he breathed in us that soul precisely so that that soul could magnify the Lord. Today, in the Magnificat that we have from the Blessed Virgin Mary, we see what's supposed to happen with our soul. She cries out in gratitude to the Lord. My soul proclaims the Lord's greatness. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Then she gives a litany why. That litany echoes the litany that Hannah sang in our responsorial psalm today. Mary's Magnificat is taken from Hannah's praise of the Lord as well as from some of the lines of the other great heroines of the Old Testament. And it said, my heart exalts in the Lord, my horns exalted in my God. Why? He raises the needy from the dust from which he formed us. From the dung heap he lifts up the poor. He takes us from excrement and exalts us. That's what the Lord wishes to do. He's given us that soul precisely so that we could praise him like Hannah and Mary and the church throughout time has been praising the Lord. Mary gives us the reasons. From this day all generations will call me blessed. Why? Not because of her. Mary in this praise recognizes the reason why she'd be called blessed. Because of what the Lord has done for her. He's looked upon as humble servant. He's done great things for me. Holy not is my name. Holy is his name. Then she goes on. He has mercy in every generation for those who fear him. Shown the strength of his arm. How's he shown it? He scattered the proud in their conceit. He's cast down the mighty from their thrones. Lifted up the lowly from the dung heap. He's filled those who are hungry with good things. Those who think they don't need him, he sent away empty. Come to the help over and over and over and over and over again of his servant Israel, remembering his merciful promise that he made to Abraham and his children forever. The Lord has given us a soul precisely so that we will be able to magnify him in this way of praise and thanksgiving, to be incredibly grateful for all that he has done. You know, there's something here that we can ponder a little bit more carefully in order to be able to appreciate what's supposed to happen at Christmas. Mary says he's filled the hungry with good things. One of the great hungers we see throughout the entire Old Testament, and we see it again with Hannah today. We saw it a few days ago with the wife of Manoah, the father of Samson. We see it with Zechariah and Elizabeth, whom Mary visited and in whose house she gave this Magnificat. What is that hunger? It's the hunger of a sterile woman who wanted desperately to become a mom and even into senescence, still hadn't conceived. And yet God is able to fill somebody with that type of hunger with the greatest thing of all. We see that with Hannah. And after the Lord worked that miracle, she brought Samuel to the temple because Samuel was clearly to be given back to the Lord who had first given Samuel to Hannah. But that's all a preparation for us. Preparation that's fulfilled in the Blessed Virgin Mary. She was one who was just a young girl who had already consecrated her virginity over to the Lord. She was never anticipating to be a mom. How will this be? For I will not know man, she says. She thought that she would ever make love any time in her life. She would never have asked that question. But Mary is the fulfillment of the hunger of all of these women longing for children throughout the centuries. And that's how salvation comes. Comes through a child conceived virginally in a womb. And if we're going to appreciate Christmas, we need to enter into the longings of these sterile women in order to have even a small glimpse of the type of hunger we're supposed to have for the Lord. We are supposed to long for Jesus to be born in us much more than all the sterile women throughout all the centuries have longed for a child of their own. That's the desideratus earum that we're talking about in this O Antiphon today. That greatly desired earum is feminine in Latin, and there's a little bit of a play on words there. It's the one, the child that every parent wanted. Just think about it for a second. You know, my mom is one of the happiest people in the world. Naturally, she's a very joyous woman. One of the things that makes her so happy is that she has a son who's a priest. An incredible joy of so many moms of priests. But she just didn't want her kind of half firstborn son to become a priest. She basically wants her son to become like Jesus. The great desire of any parent, if it's a holy desire, is for children to become more and more conformed to Jesus. That's what we always deeply desire most, or at least we should, if our desires are holy, that Christ fully be formed in our loved ones and grow. That's key for us to appreciate what's happening at Christmas. To have that type of desire, and the Lord responds to that desire with this great miracle of the Incarnation in a virgin by the power of the Holy Spirit. The same Lord who did that great miracle wants to do a similar miracle in us if only we enter into the desire of Mary as the daughter of Zion for God, for the Messiah. And the Lord will make her the mother of all the living and help us in the same way as we were talking about yesterday to become mother of Christ in faith, like Mary was mother of Christ according to the flesh. It's one other sort of aspect of today's readings in this O Antiphon that we should ponder as we prepare to receive within us the desideratus earum, the rex gentium, the lapis angularis. In the old rite of the Mass, at the mixing of the water and the wine, there was a beautiful prayer. I have the old cards for the Mass on the table where I vest, and I pray those prayers before I come on out. We still have half of the prayer here, but this real prayer is the prayer that we will pray Christmas Day. O Deus, qui humanae substantiae mirabiliter condidisti et mirabilius reformasti. O God, who wondrously formed the dignity of the human person and even more miraculously reformed it, formed us from the dust in the beginning with his soul, but even more wondrously has reformed us by his passion, death, and resurrection. Then we turn, qui huius vini et aquae mysterium. And through this mixing mysteriously of the water and wine, may we come to share in the divinity of him who came to share our humanity. That this incredible miracle is when Jesus takes our human nature and inspires far more than a soul, but he wishes to raise it up to be united with his own divinity, so that he who took on our humanity might thereby make us divine. That's what this is all about. As we prepare to receive the King of the Nations, the cornerstone, the desire of the entire human race, let us ask him to open us up to have this hunger, to receive him within, so that today, throughout the rest of our life, we might never cease singing our own Magnificat, for the Lord has done even greater things for us, and holy is his name. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.